politics, life. Cross Kitchens, Kansas City's home remodeler, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at crosskitchenskc.com.
So the Royals are just downright amazing right now, but we're not going to start there with today's podcast. We'll get to that in the back half as we get to sports, because I've got a news topic that I really want to start with today. I do want to remind you there's a couple more games left on this homestand with the Astros here, and you can grab tickets at ticketsforless.com. That's ticketsforless.com. No fees added. They're your Royals headquarters for all the best seats, or even the Chiefs seats. And they have the 7-for-7 promotion right now. When the Royals score 7 runs or more, remember, you get 7% off your ticket order at Tickets for Less. So let's see if they can get that done in the next 2 days. But always remember, if you want to go to the game, check ticketsforless.com first. Your promo code is KKHI. You will always save 5 to 15% depending on where your seats are. But the Royals are on fire, 5 in a row. Walk-off fashion last night with Salvi popping one into the gap to win the game in the bottom of the 10th inning. This is getting fun. The Royals are 7-4. They were 7-21 last year. They could lose 16 games in a row right now and be better off than last year. This is just amazing, and we'll have much more in a few moments. I want to start today with something that's very serious that I've mentioned on the podcast a couple of times before, but haven't really gone into great detail on, and it is something that I'm passionate about that I've never expected others to be passionate about. The reason I never expected others to be passionate about it is because working in media and around other media people, and knowing most of them were liberal my entire career, they are absolutely for something that I was against. So I was banging my head against the wall because they were fundamentally for what was being produced at certain media outlets. And my issue wasn't so much, especially way back in the day when I formulated my opinion on this, my issue wasn't so much what was being published or broadcast in these media outlets. It was the fact that they existed at all and that our tax dollars fund it. You will have that in common with me no matter what, but now we know for sure what PBS and NPR really are. A longtime National Public Radio journalist named Yuri Berliner wrote a piece for the Free Press where he has unloaded on NPR, saying they have completely lost their way. Quote, they've lost the timeless journalistic instinct of following a hot story and squelch these things. This was talking about the laptop story of 2020, which he called newsworthy. He said, but it started before that when Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump. They could have fessed up. They started in on Russia collusion. They started in on all these other things. And we had meetings where they said, you must go cover George Floyd and race. And Adam Schiff was on NPR 25 times, and he essentially became the editor-in-chief of NPR. And Berliner, who is a Democrat and a liberal and a progressive, said, I don't care what I am. This isn't journalism. And he's written this piece, and he's 100% right. And I have said for, well, almost since coming out of college, our federal government should not be funding any broadcasting, any journalism, because it isn't journalism if it's funded by the federal government. So I've never liked PBS and I've never liked NPR. Now, that doesn't mean that my kids didn't watch Sesame Street or there wasn't this. Sesame Street's gone woke. It's as political now as anything else. This stuff has evolved and changed, and we're in 2024, so you know exactly where the content of these shows is. In fact, it is so staggering. After the story came out yesterday, another media outlet did a quick search of 87 staffers that were identifiable at NPR, National Public Radio. 87 staffers that there were identifiable records. They went and searched all the people they knew that worked at NPR and checked out their voter registration. They got the names of 87 staffers. 87 of them are registered Democrats. 0 are registered independent or Republicans. That's at NPR. This is insanity. And Republicans have never been serious about doing anything about this. And I sense that this op-ed piece that he wrote in the Free Press may get some traction with Republicans. We have got to forget defunding the police. We have to defund public broadcasting. We either defund it or we change the rules of the game where we hire, solely based equally on voter registration, and give 12 hours a day equal time to both sides, that would be acceptable. We could continue this ruse, but I think the better thing is to just shut them both down. It's a joke. We're a capitalist society. There's all kinds of journalism. There's all kinds of media out there. What we're seeing now is leftist media outlets are failing. They're going under. They're going under all over the place. They fail because they're not really running a business. They're running an arm of the Democrat National Committee. And so they wind up failing because nobody just wants to be force-fed that stuff. Well, public broadcasting and NPR would both fail. Overnight, they would fail without funding from the federal government. Are you ready for this? This last year, Republicans included, passed a $50 million a year raise in the budget, the annual budget for PBS and NPR. That brought the total in the budget, this is unbelievable, to $525 million of your tax dollars to fund these things. Then they receive an additional $92 million through federal funding in different ways. One of them was the omnibus plan or something that came out. Oh, omnibus plan. There's $30 million more for public broadcasting. All right. So in three other ways, they received $92 million more. So we're looking at $617 million a year of your tax dollars, basically $2 for everybody in the country that you're spending every year to fund public broadcasting. And this man writes this column and says, they lost their way as soon as Hillary lost. I mean, he said it leaned left. There was no question NPR leaned left. Everybody knew that. But if there was a good story, we would always follow the hot story. We would follow the Hunter Biden laptop story. We would follow Antifa and BLM is violent and they're burning down, you know, police stations in the name of George Floyd, and this is wrong. We would follow those stories. We would ask questions of the Democrats in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax and the impeachment. We would be quizzical. We would want to know. We'd be curious about everything going on. It ended. He said the editors and the people in charge, there were mandates. This is what our story will be. Essentially, when Adam Schiff came on 25 times during the Trump impeachment, when he appeared on NPR 25 times, he would go into the studio, sit down in the studio with them. It's all right there in D.C. because it's all one cesspool of liberals. Washington, D.C. is a cesspool of the left. And Schiff would walk in, and it would be his talking points on that day, and that would become NPR for a week. They would basically allow Adam Schiff to decide what the coverage is on NPR a week at a time. Then he'd come back a week later, and he'd set the table again and go, here we go, bang the drum for a week. This is your tax dollars. This is insanity. Of all the stupid things we do in this country with money that we blow, and we blow it in a lot of ways, like funding a war that's going to be lost in Ukraine, we can go through a million things where we're wasting money. This is the worst because it's, you know, it's just like Planned Parenthood and these things on the left. Republicans will say they're wanting to slow abortions, but then they'll fund a budget that gives money to Planned Parenthood, which pays for abortions all over the country. There is so much hypocrisy in the Republican Party. This has to stop. Now, here's what we know about the government. The government doesn't ever really defund much. If they do, it has to be the left that wants to defund it. So Republicans' chances of defunding public broadcasting and NPR, I put it about 2%. They might lower the number, whatever. The better course of action here is, since this is government-funded and government-regulated, quote-unquote, public broadcasting, we need to pass, either through legislation and a law, or within the constraints of how the money is acceptable for PBS and NPR to receive it. In other words, we've got this all over the place. Like Title IX, for example, a lot of people don't know what Title IX is. Title IX says an institution of education that receives federal funding cannot discriminate against a student based on gender. That's what it says, essentially. It doesn't say anything for women, anything for men. It says the word gender. You can't discriminate based on gender if you want to receive federal funding. Any school that wants to be a male-only or female-only school and, you know, have only men's athletics and not women, fine. You're just not going to get your federal funding. Private schools can do whatever they want. We still have a golf club in Kansas City that's male only. They're not affected by this because they don't receive federal funding. NPR and PBS should be under the same statute. If you want to receive your $620 million, there will be equal time and equal journalism for both political parties. I have suggested for a million years, you do 1 hour for one party, 1 hour by another. You hire separate staffs. If we got 87 people at NPR and they're all Democrats, they're all working in there every day, we split that up. We go to 88 employees and there's 44 each. We run separate divisions. Every other hour, you get an hour of programming. All day long for 24 hours. An hour at a time. That's public broadcasting. Then when somebody comes along the dial, they got a 50-50 chance of hearing this, hearing that, whatever. At least it's fair. It's fair, it's open, it's honest. And I can't think of a better way to determine the coverage than based on political preference. Honestly, that's the best way. And there will be people that argue that say, these two parties don't cover everything. There's independents, there's the Green Party, there's libertarians, whatever. Nobody's going to argue if you give 12 hours a day to a staff that is registered Democrats running their journalism versus a staff that runs their journalism based on being registered Republicans. Nobody's going to argue that at least this has equal time, that there is fairness in play. There is no better way to do this. And PBS should be this way too. So maybe at 7 o'clock in the morning, when you turn PBS on, one of your children's cartoon shows is on there with a lesbian couple, you know, talking about adopting or transgendering their 9-year-old son. And then at 8 o'clock, we get something really good and wholesome that we're used to seeing for kids. And parents can then make the choice. What shows do they want to watch? The best part, if we did this, the best part would be to see what ratings they get. To see what happens hour to hour. Or you can do it in 2-hour blocks. I think 2-hour blocks is too long because it becomes a dominant thing that you watch for a long period of time, whatever. I think hour by hour is the way you switch this thing up. Or you could switch it day to day. But I think that's a bad idea. Then who gets what days? It becomes an audio. Hour to hour. I am shocked that this man came out. He is getting slammed by all the people that he has worked with forever. He's still there. Like, they're like, no, this guy, he's going to be. Juan Williams, who's on Fox News, who's a liberal, he's a Democrat. He was fired in 2010 by NPR. He said, because they thought I was too conservative a black guy for them. And I'm no conservative, he went on to say. They called me names. They said horrible things about me publicly because I would question things that were going on. This is in 2010. This is long before Trump. Obama's president. This is long before Trump. And Juan Williams in there going, wait a second, what about this? And they're like, you're out of here. We hired you to come in and be a black guy, a leftist black guy, and you're too conservative for us. Well, I don't know Juan Williams to be conservative at all. He's a Democrat through and through. And I'm not sure he's even a moderate Democrat because he's moved left on a lot of things, but not left enough for NPR. This is the stupidest thing we do. I mean, it really is the dumbest thing we do. Yuri Berliner would say, you know, we could have fessed up to our misjudgment talking about the laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop. He said, we could have fessed up to our misjudgment, but like Russia collusion, we didn't make the hard choice of transparency. And I would agree with that, except for the word hard. There is no hard choice in transparency. If you're doing journalism, you do the story, and you do it the right way. There's nothing to that. I mean, we're going to talk about Trump and abortion in a little bit, but we just went through a big thing this week that the Biden administration got a hold of USA Today and made them change their headline because they didn't like a headline that actually made Donald Trump look good. It gave the fact in the headline of what Trump said, which always makes Trump look good, and USA Today changed it. This has got to stop. I don't know that we can pass laws. I don't know that we can pass journalism laws, but we can definitely institute some sort of policy where we can fine media outlets, big, big numbers, for lying, for being wrong. Why can't we do this like a scoreboard? Why can't we go back and say, oh, these media outlets were wrong about the Hunter Biden laptop. These media outlets were wrong about Trump collusion. These media outlets were wrong about no violence at the George Floyd riots. Why can't we go back and say, you were wrong, you didn't apologize, you didn't correct the record, you've issued nothing, no correction, no apology, fine. We're putting a fine on you right now for doing that. And then, you know, it's no different than, we have restaurants all over Kansas City, and I think every week, or at least every month, most local newspapers, Kansas City Star or whatever newspaper it may be, they will list the Kansas City, Missouri, or Wyandotte County or whatever health records for the health inspectors of restaurants and say, these violations were found at these restaurants. Great. You may have already gone there and eaten there and had a great experience, but you didn't know that they had an infestation of mice back in their kitchen that was a health violation that they've now corrected. This is important public information. Why can't we do that with media? Of all the things the government does, why can't we have government watchdogs reporting on media and posting it for people and having a scoreboard like we do the airlines? We do this with the airlines. The airlines have to report delays, flight cancellations, mechanical problems, customer complaints. All these things are filed, and then the rankings come out every month. This was the safest airline. This was the most on-time airline. This was the, we have all these rankings. Well, that's the FAA. Why can't we do this with journalism? Why can't we have a scorecard that shows us CNN is the most disingenuous and lying outfit in America? Why can't we have that? If we have $620 million a year to just hand over to PBS and NPR, why can't we have an agency that looks over media and gives us a scorecard? Make them compete for accuracy. It's gone. There is no, I'm not talking about the Sean Hannity show in prime time or Rachel Maddow. I'm not talking about those shows. Those can do and say whatever they want. Those are opinion shows. People are giving their opinions, whatever. I'm talking about in the actual reporting or within the context of those opinion shows. When you take a false premise or something that they know is not true or a lie, and they keep stating it over and over and over. Like the latest one has to do with Donald Trump and abortion. They're saying over and over and over, there are reports everywhere. Of course, everyone knows Donald Trump wants a federal law banning all abortion. No, he doesn't. He does not want that. I think Donald Trump is like most people in America. I think he would like a reasonable law on abortion, like no abortions after 15 weeks. We'll get into that topic a little bit more in a couple of minutes. Well, you know what? I can transition right into it because it's the same thing. It's the same issue, truly, that you can't just run around and have all of your reporting lying about something Donald Trump never said. If Donald Trump has never said, I want a national law banning all abortion, how can the premise of all of your coverage be that? We've got to find a way to shut that down and categorize that as fake news. That's fake news. And that's what the left does. Over and over and over, and Yuri Berliner is a great American, and he's a liberal, and he's a pretty far-left liberal. But we love him, and we love that he's come forward on this, and he is turning Washington, D.C. upside down because they're in their own little swamp, and this is part of their swampy swamp that they love. Do you know how much money there is to be made? If you have $620 million, these are not big outfits. Yeah, they're going to say, oh, we send some of the money to local TV stations and local radio stations in certain markets. That's true. They'll send some to local places. But do you know how much money that is? We're not talking about giant organizations here. This isn't Microsoft. We're not talking about 75,000 employees at PBS and NPR. Again, they found 87 staffers at this radio network. And they found all 87 to be registered Democrats. That is a massive problem. And our tax dollars are funding that. And it's going out over the public airwaves for 340 million people to hear. We are fools. KKHI is brought to you by Aspen Wealth Management. We're so proud to have the Holsingers on board with us at AspenWealth.com. If you have a 401k you've been considering rolling over, or an IRA, or maybe you're a young person and you just want to get started investing for your future, they can help you with a plan, small or big. You may have a lump sum you need to roll over that you would like them to manage. They do financial planning, investment management, taxes, and insurance. They're your personal financial concierge. They also do corporate retirement plan management. If your company is looking for a better or new corporate retirement plan manager, Aspen Wealth could be for you. Online at aspenwealth.com, 913-491-0500. If you just want a free consultation on whether you're going to make it in retirement, here's what I have, here's how old I am, how much do I need, they'd love to sit down and talk with you and discuss your plans for retirement and for saving to live your best life, whatever it may be. Call Trevor at 913-491-0500 or log on to aspenwealth.com. Is Aspen the place for you? McConnell and Associates. Yesterday I was driving around. You know, Bart Dandler's jumped on board here, and the great folks at McConnell and Associates. This isn't really a retail outlet. This is nothing you can go buy, but watch for their signs. They're all over town. They're blue and yellow barricades, basically. I was driving. I went to the bank over by Overland Park yesterday, and then I came back through Lenexa through the Falcon Valley Golf Course, where they've redone all the roads and sidewalks there. And they still have a couple barricades up. It's beautiful work. It's all done. And I saw them. They're blue and yellow barricades, and they say McConnell and Associates. They did the entire project there for the city of Lenexa and the Falcon Valley Homes Association, I guess, because there's some other projects there. They did all the paving in the street, all the new sidewalks, all the curbs, the whole thing. That's McConnell and Associates. I like to say of them, we've got a sponsor you can walk all over. You can drive over these people. You can drive over their asphalt. You can walk over their sidewalks. They do it all over the Midwest. Their motto is wherever you walk, park, or play, they've done it. McConnell and Associates. If you would like to learn more for your church, your school district, your business, about new asphalt, overlaying, sealing, pavement, repairs, call Bart at 816-215-1973 if you're in local politics on the city council and you know about your city that budgets money for these sorts of projects. This is the company to go with if you're listening to this podcast. They are like us. Direct the city funding to this company, McConnell and Associates. Bart Dandler, 816-215-1973. Bart is it's an avid listener of KKHI. And Stroud's Catering and Stroud's Restaurants. Two locations for Stroud's: Oak Ridge Manor in the Northland and 135th and 69 Highway in Overland Park. Online at stroudscatering.com. When was the last time you went to dinner at Stroud's? It's time to give it a chance. If it's been a while, go. The pan-fried chicken is awesome. You know the mashed potatoes and gravy are to die for. They have country fried steak. They got ham steaks. They got everything that's great at Stroud's. This is unbelievable family-style cooking. It's not just for after church on Sundays. Take someone special and go to Stroud's in the Northland or Overland Park. And the next time you cater an event, whether it's at your office or a family picnic, or if you're having the entire extended family over for a Sunday afternoon at your house sometime, consider Stroud's Catering. They're great sponsors of KKHI. They love American traditions, and there's nothing more traditional than pan-fried chicken and a great dinner. And Stroud's would love to serve that up for you, and they'd love to come to your home or business and cater for you. StroudsCatering.com. Stop ordering pizza. Stop ordering sandwich trays. Next time people are coming over, StroudsCatering.com. 913-563-5799. Stroud's, big fans of KKHI. That's the cool thing about all the sponsors, is you just know who they are. Now you're starting to identify businesses that you can do business with. And you say, oh, these are the people. We're not calling them, folks. The last three I just spoke with, they all three contacted us. We're not out there knocking on doors and cold calling and selling ads on KKHI. They're calling us saying, we want to be part of the podcast. We believe in what you say. We believe in America. We believe in a traditional constitutional America. And we want to be affiliated with your podcast. Do you know how bold that is for a business? Or how bold that used to be? Because to me, it doesn't feel all that bold anymore. I got a lot of sponsors. And they're all willing to be part of this podcast because they don't see anything that I say as controversial. I love that. These last three sponsors I just mentioned, every single one of them have contacted us. Stroud's, McConnell Associates, and Aspen Wealth. They've all contacted us within the last 2 months wanting to be part of the podcast. What does that say about them and who you should be doing business with? Love those folks. Oh, Sunny Hostin got bailed out. You know Sunny Hostin, the lady on The View that made a fool of herself saying that the eclipse was caused by climate change? She got bailed out by a Democrat from Texas named Sheila Jackson Lee, who is officially now, this isn't even close. This is the dumbest person elected anywhere. A Democrat from Texas. Sheila Jackson Lee was giving a speech at a Houston high school outdoors about an hour before the eclipse a couple of days ago. And she said, she went all Rex Hudler on us. You know, Rex Hudler said, the moon's my favorite planet. One time, the moon is not a planet, it's a moon. Okay, I forgive Rex for that. That's just a comment he's making. They were showing a beautiful shot of the moon one night. Anybody broadcast, anybody could do that. I could have done that. I could have said that. Oh, but not Sheila Jackson Lee. She went off on the moon. Sheila Jackson Lee talking to high school students about what they, but while telling them, if you don't wear these glasses and you look up, we're going to haul you out of here by the arm. That's what she told these kids. You will wear your glasses or we're going to haul you out. This is what Democrats like to do. You will take this shot or you won't be able to fly or work or do anything or be in the military. This is what they love to do. You will do this or else. Sheila Jackson Lee, after telling them, we will haul you out of here by the arm if we see you looking anywhere without your glasses on. Sheila Jackson Lee said, the moon is a planet made up of mostly gases. It provides light and energy, especially a full moon. It's almost impossible, she said. That's real energy with the sun. It's almost impossible to go near the sun, she said. But we can go to the moon because gases and heat on the moon are more manageable. She said the moon will be closer today than it's ever been to Earth. They're going to shut down the energy for 4 minutes. I'm not making this up, folks. She thinks it's a fiery gas ball and that for 4 minutes, when it crossed in a certain path close to the Earth, it was just going to show us how they can turn the moon off. Because the real dangerous moon is the full moon. That's where all the real gas and energy is coming off the moon. And, you know, we got to have energy at night for Earth to work. But it's more manageable on the moon. And she wants to be able to live on the moon. And soon we're going to be going to the moon. And we haven't been there in 50 years, but we're going back. Folks, I'm not like a conspiracy dude at all. Do you really think we were on the moon 50 years ago? And haven't been back? We just gave up on it. And now we're going to go back. For what reason? Now we're going to go back and we're going to make a big deal out of going back to the moon? Were we really on the moon or was that all fake? I mean, millions of people think the whole thing was fake. It was fake propaganda aimed at the Soviet Union. Heck, I don't know, but it don't seem right to me that we haven't been there in 50 years. And when I watched that video, I'm asking myself, how did they shoot that back to Earth in real time? Wasn't there like a 30-second delay? How could this possibly be? And it didn't look right. When that lunar liftoff thing happened, it doesn't look like that's real. It just doesn't. It's like, no, it takes a little more force than that. I understand there's not much gravity on the moon, but come on. We're going to make a big deal out of going back, but I digress. I'm sorry. Sheila Jackson Lee's the dumbest person elected to any office anywhere. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is really bad. It's complete embarrassment for our country. But really, these dummies are all in one party. Because that's just Sunny Hostin and Sheila Jackson Lee. I would love to sit at dinner with two of them. I would like to just sit there and listen to them. At the stupidity and filth that comes out of their mouth. The moon is a planet made up mostly of gases. It provides light and energy, especially a full moon. But gases and heat on the moon are more manageable. It's almost impossible to go near the sun, she says. I'd like to see her get near the sun. It's almost impossible to get near the sun. Well, go near the sun, Sheila. Let's see how that works out for you. Go get near the sun and see how... It's only 93 million miles away. Go travel. You know, let's just make it... Let's go halfway. Let's send you about 46.5 million miles away. See how that works out for you. That's not even near the moon. Let's not go halfway. Let's go a third of the way to the moon. because it's almost impossible to go near the sun. Let's not go near it. Let's just go halfway. Sheila, what a fool. More and more conservatives like me are admitting that Trump made a huge mistake with his abortion statement this week. There was no point for this. He's winning in the polls. He should never speak about abortion. And maybe the point was, put this out there in April and forget about the topic. Maybe that was it. But now everybody's mad at him. The left says he's going to have an abortion ban, a national federal law. The right is mad at him because they're saying he's open to too many abortions because he says leave it up to the states. And that means there will be states like California and New York where they'll kill babies at birth. You don't say anything at all on this topic. You leave it alone. The Democrats are having a field day. They can't wait to write about this and talk about Trump and abortion. This will win them the election. If Trump keeps talking about abortion, Trump will lose. He's leading big. Nobody really cares about this topic except people that are baked into one party. That's it. Nobody, don't. Just don't talk about it. If the people in the middle think Trump is going to put in a national ban on abortion, they will not vote for him. They will not swing his way. He is the only one that will lose votes over abortion. There is no other candidate in this race that will lose votes over abortion. He's the only one. This is a terrible issue for Republicans. We need to get rid of this issue. And it angers many of you, but I am in favor of a national law. If we can come up with a national law that is reasonable, tolerable, reduces abortions massively, I think is the goal, not eliminating them. I don't think that's realistic in 2024 in the United States of America. It's realistic maybe in Russia or China. It's not realistic in this country anymore. It just isn't. I want something that wildly reduces abortion and becomes federal law so it is never an issue again, that it doesn't come up on the campaign trail. That's my stance. Can't tell you exactly what it is. If it was a perfect world, I'd say something like 8 weeks. I think 8 weeks is plenty of time to know whether you need abortion or not. I think it's plenty of time. A lot of states are going 15 weeks. Now that Trump has says this, Arizona's got a Supreme Court that's upholding an 1864 law on healthcare, health issues, and personal rights that basically says as of today in Arizona, there will be no abortions. Republicans quickly are scrambling around in Arizona trying to put in a bill. Many of the Republicans, not the far right ones, many of the Republicans are scrambling around trying to put in and write legislation for a 15-week abortion ban in Arizona. A lot of places seem to be settling in on 15. I think that's a win for the left. I think 15's too many. I would think 12 at the most. 8 sounds reasonable to me. But if Arizona puts 15 in, at least it's settled. Maybe they could get this done before November. This could lose Arizona for Trump. You want to see a way Trump's leading in Arizona? You want to see a way for Trump to lose Arizona? Abortion's on the ballot. You put abortion on the ballot in Arizona and Trump loses. I'm telling you, you put it on anywhere and Trump loses. There are no more motivated voters than crazy Swifties on the left, 18 to 45-year-old women that want to go vote for abortion. There is no more militant voter than them. They will vote and they will take friends and they will convince people on this issue to go vote with them and vote for Democrats. This happened with USA Today this week. Trump gave a speech. And I don't disagree with anything Trump said, but people aren't going to hear the message that he gave, that it's a states' rights issue. I'm a states' rights guy. I agree with Trump, but that's not practical. That's going to lose elections forever because it will always be on the ballot. So USA Today puts out a headline. It says, "The will of the people," in quotes. Trump says not in favor of national abortion law. The Biden administration calls up USA Today and they're livid. They're like, whoa, don't say that. Trump not in favor of national abortion law. That's exactly what he said. The will of the people. Send it back to the states. Let the people in the states decide. The federal government should stay out of it. That's what USA Today reported. That's what they put in their headline. How that happened, I don't know, because it was a very fair headline. And the Biden administration got the headline changed to Trump avoids talk of national abortion ban. That's how the media work in this country. The White House called him up and they changed their headline. It's just disgusting. No other way to say it. It's disgusting. One final news note here before we move on to sports. Andrew Lester, remember Andrew Lester, the 85-year-old man in the Northland who shot Ralph Jarl, the teenager, at his front door a year ago? The trial's been going on. Lester's been out on bail, $200,000 bail. He's been a free man. He appeared back in court with a walker. He's 85. His health is not great. And there seems to be some contradiction within Ralph Jarl's testimony. They don't really know whether he opened the screen door, the storm door, or not. He told authorities he did, that he opened it and then got shot. This seems easy to me. Did the bullet go through the storm door, or did it not go through the storm door? Seems easy. And so that's kind of a problem here. People watching this trial are looking at this now saying they believe the most Andrew Lester is going to get is probation, that he's an 85-year-old man. He's endangering nobody in our community, that this wasn't indeed an accident, and that it's going to work out okay. And the reason people believe this now is the media hype has died down. ABC News, CBS, NBC, they're not here anymore. CNN isn't doing live shots on this story. They're gone. It's a year-old story. It's gone. And this is justice actually working properly. This was a scared old man who was awakened one night and fired a shot he shouldn't have done. But it's on his property. There are laws to support him. And I think if we look at this, we would say the fact that it's taken a year to this point, that justice being slow has been good, that it's working out. Most people believe he's going to get some sort of probation. Of course, not be allowed to have firearms and things like that. I think I'm cool with that. I'm glad to hear that Ralph Jarl is not going to die in jail for firing a gun from his own living room. Sports today brought to you by Advantage Termite and Pest Control, online at AdvantageTPC.com. You're starting to see critters around your house, even like wasp nests under your deck and things like that you don't like dealing with. They do all that. I hate dealing with stinging insects. They're so good at this. You got critters digging up your yard, you get voles or something like that out there, they'll take care of that too. Advantage Termite and Pest Control, AdvantageTPC.com. Window World is simply the best for less. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs are American-made. They have lifetime warranties, and they have 0% financing right now at Window World. They have windows, siding, and doors, and they'd love to work with you on your home. 816-799-0820, anywhere in Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, windowskansascity.com. Amini's. This is Amini's. Outdoor furniture tent sale going on right now. 60 months, no interest at Amini's, 105th Metcalf in Overland Park. They also have locations for family members or friends that you know in Oklahoma City, Tulsa, or St. Louis. You can always order online at aminis.com. Try the promo code KKHI. Even if it's something where you just need some new Q-sticks for your pool table or something like that, accessories, they've got all kinds of cool stuff like that at Aminis as well. And you can order online at aminis.com or visit them at 105th and Metcalf and mention Kevin Keatsman has issues. The Royals do it again. Cole Reagans wasn't his best. He gave up 10 hits, 11 hits in this game. He had 5 strikeouts, but he only made it 5 innings. Okay, we can live with that. The Royals were trailing, but here they come. They score 2, then they score another, tie it up on a throwing error. They rally, they tie the game. Are you ready for this? The bullpen has 15-plus scoreless innings now. Like, the Royals' bullpen looked like it had no arms. Now, we haven't seen Will Smith much. We didn't see him last night. It looks like there's some right-handers out there that can throw a little bit with some nasty stuff. We're learning more as they go. And this is why a long baseball season can benefit the Kansas City Royals. Because manager Q can take a little time to figure out what he's got and how to use it. And we love that about baseball. But watching 15-plus scoreless innings has been great. Now, these aren't really clean innings. We're watching a lot of base runners in this 15 scoreless inning, so I'm not jumping on the bandwagon of this bullpen yet. I am not a believer. But we know there are stretches where they're capable of doing the job because they've just done it over the last few days. It is a 5-game winning streak. The Royals have won 6 in a row at home. They're 6-2 overall at home after losing their first 2. They are 7-4 on the season. last year when they got their seventh, they were 6-21 when they got their seventh win. So you can see what we're talking about here. This is a real team. The Astros lineup is absolutely legit. I know they're off to a rough start, and they're rolling a pitcher out there on Wednesday night against Seth Lugo. It's got an ERA of about 7. So they've had some pitching issues, but that's a legit lineup that can really score, and the Royals held them in 10 innings to 3 runs, which is really, really nice. I'm happy. I don't need the sweep. I'll take the sweep, but I don't need it. I'm happy if they win 2 out of 3 from the Astros. Anytime you beat the best team, and they're the best team in baseball. They've been to, what, 7 AL championship games in a row? It's like the Chiefs. It's like beating the Chiefs last night. That's a good step for the Royals, and it was fun to watch. Bobby Witt had a huge hit in this game. A gapper. Salvador Perez got the walk-off in the gap in left center. So we love seeing that. And they're just having fun. They're playing baseball the way it's meant to be played. They're having fun. They feel like no matter what happens in the game, they're going to win. There is momentum in baseball. People don't believe in it. But there is momentum in baseball. It is day-to-day momentum. It is not always inning-to-inning. It is a belief that you're down 3-0 in the fifth inning, but you're going to win. And you just keep grinding, and good things are going to happen. And pitch by pitch, make a quality pitch, make a quality play in the field, make a good at-bat, a good swing, that your time will come. And it did last night for the Royals. There was no reason for the Royals to win that game. And yet they did. They won the back half of it. They lost the first half of the game and won the back half. I love that. Okay, here's a pretty cool clip. Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer in the world. He's at the Masters, and he's a huge favorite this week. He is the most understated Joe next door cuts his grass neighbor dude you've ever seen. He's understated, unassuming, very plain, bland looking, other than the fact that he's the best golfer on earth. He's at the Masters, and I'm going to play this clip. It's a couple minutes long. He hesitates at first. What the question? These are great questions. It's amazing. I think golf journalists may be the best on the planet. I think they may be the smartest, ask the best questions, most in the know about what they do. This is better than the questions you hear that they ask Karine Jean-Pierre. All right, this guy, whoever's asking this question, I don't know who it was, is really good. And he doesn't get the answer at first. So he keeps going. And then he gets the answer. And you're going to love what Scottie Scheffler says about what it's like for him to be the greatest golfer on the planet.
A lot of number one players in the world have admitted that they've had to be selfish with their time. They've had to work very hard because they were just about compulsive to stay on top. How would you say golf, where does it fit in defining you as a person right now?
Hopefully it doesn't define me too much because golf definitely is a selfish sport. You know, you're out there by yourself, and when you're at the peak of your game, you know, people need stuff from you a lot of the time, and you have to be selfish with your time, and it's not easy to say no, but you have to learn how to say no to certain people. And because ultimately when you come out to the golf tournament, you're here to compete and you're here to do your best, and you can't really get caught up in all the stuff that's going on around you. And so I'm hoping it doesn't define me too much because I feel like I say it a bunch. Golf's something that I do. It's a tremendously huge part of my life, but it doesn't define me as a person. It's just something that I do, and I happen to be good at it some weeks. And, you know, I come in here and you guys ask all nice questions, and then the next week I'm bad at it, and then some of the questions are viewed more negatively. And that's just kind of the, you know, the ebb and flow of competing in front of people all the time.
Can I follow up? What do you think defines you?
Gosh, I don't know. You probably have to ask my wife. No, I'm a faithful guy. I believe in a creator. I believe in Jesus. Ultimately, I think that's what defines me the most. I feel like I've been given a platform to compete and, you know, show my talent. It's not anything that I did. You know, I think I sat up here a couple of years ago doing the interview after the 2022 Masters, and it's like, yeah, I was underprepared for what was about to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't, you know, I was very anxious that morning. I didn't know what to expect. And it's hard to describe the feeling, but I think that's what defines me the most is my faith. You know, I believe in one creator, and I've been called to come out here do my best, compete, and glorify God, and that's pretty much it.
That is Scottie Scheffler, the world number one golfer and the heavy favorite to win the Masters this week. He won this a couple of years ago. You just don't hear the best at anything in sports say, I don't want to be defined as the best athlete or the best. You don't hear Patrick Mahomes say, I don't want to be defined as the best football player. You didn't hear Michael Jordan say, I don't want to be known as the greatest. You never heard Tom Brady say it. This man's saying it. He's got a wife. He's got children. He has faith. And he wants to be defined as a person, as a human being of character, long before he's defined as the best player on earth. So the question initially began there, how do you deal with the pressure of being world number one and the time constraints and people tugging at you? And his answer wound up being, well, I don't prioritize that. If I don't live every day to be number one, what I heard him say that he didn't say was, you know what, if I'm world number 25th, I can live with that too. I'll be happy there. What I heard him say was, if I blow out my back and can never play again, I'll still be happy or never compete again. Maybe play golf recreationally with children as they grow up and things like that. That's what I'm hearing him say. I'm content. And so the reason I don't feel pressure is world number one. And the reason he doesn't really feel pressure in these tournaments, you know, he goes out and he plays and he's won all these tournaments and he plays great on the last day and he wins them at the end. And you're like, wow, this guy is something else. He hits iron shots closer to the hole than anybody. His putters let him down from time to time. And we've thought, oh, it's going to get in his head and he won't putt and he's not going to be any good anymore. Well, he's putting better this year, which makes it really tough for everyone else because he hits the ball better than anybody. And you just, if you don't, if you're truly living your life like he says he is right there, you don't feel the same pressure playing golf on Sunday at the Masters that other players do. Rory McIlroy needs to win the Masters for a career Grand Slam. This is like his 12th shot at that. Career Grand Slam is winning all four majors in your career. Well, this is like time number 12 for Rory. And every year he comes to the Masters because he hasn't won it, there's more and more pressure heaped on him, and he just pees his pants. And you can see that. We've seen that in sports a million times. Scottie Scheffler doesn't look like that guy. I don't think he's buying into the trappings of all this. I don't think he wants to be famous. He is rich. He has no choice but to be rich. He hasn't left the PGA Tour for scads of money because I don't think he values that. He hasn't gone to live. Very interesting guy, easy to like, Scottie Scheffler. Big event coming up in Kansas City on Saturday night. Inter Miami FC is here. Lionel Messi is the greatest soccer player of all time, according to many, and he'll be likely playing Saturday night at Arrowhead. 70,000 fans expected at Arrowhead on Saturday night. Peter Vermees had a news conference on Tuesday where he referred to Messi as the greatest player of all time. He says, and I've believed that for 20 years. He pulled out his phone, Vermees did, at the news conference yesterday and showed what most soccer people believe is the greatest goal of all time by Messi, where he beats like three dudes. It's crazy. He pulls it out and says this, and he starts coaching his way through it. He goes, watch him go left, then goes to his right. And he goes, and Vermees is like, is such a big fan of Lionel Messi. He said, no coach has ever figured out how to stop him. No coach ever will, which means I don't have a plan to stop him on Saturday night. This Peter Vermees is so confident in who and what he is. What coach says that? I mean, between Scottie Scheffler saying what he said yesterday and what Peter Vermees said, I don't have a plan to stop him. You can't stop Lionel Messi. We're going to guard him. We're going to try. We're going to play. But if he gets free, there is no coaching plan to stop the man. He's better than your guy. I just thought it was amazing to hear Vermees talk about that. I love Peter Vermees. I just love the guy, man. I think he is just so spot on and top notch in everything he does and says. He literally pulled out video of the greatest player of all time in his mind that they're playing Saturday night in front of 70,000 people and said, I can't stop this dude, but I'm right there with you. I think Peter Vermees is thrilled to be standing on the sideline watching this guy and coaching against him. And Sporting's going to play so hard, you're going to cry Saturday night. They will play. Their effort will be sinful. It will be so aggressive. They're going to play so hard against Miami. Now, Messi just returned to action last Saturday against Colorado. He scored a goal off the bench, came in as a sub. He may or may not start Saturday. He's been injured for a month, so we're lucky here in Kansas City that he's back and he's healthy and he scored a goal last week. Unless you just really love your team and you wish they were playing him without Messi and have a better chance to win, but I don't think many sporting fans are there. Soccer is not win at all costs. Soccer is we want to see the best player against our guys. Saturday night, that's more important. Seeing Messi play against Sporting is more important for every Sporting fan than Sporting winning. That's different than me. I would have gladly not seen Tom Brady play for the Patriots in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead for the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl in Mahomes' first year as the starter. I would have welcomed that. Oh, he's got a hamstring problem. He can't play. Okay, good enough. Not soccer. They want to see Messi. That's happening Saturday night. Our final today is brought to you by North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Dr. Bill Bush and his team would love to see you. Schedule an appointment today online, nkcdental.com. Earth Effects Outdoors online at eeoutdoor.com. That's real simple, eeoutdoor.com. Need a little spring cleanup around your house? Let Earth Effects Outdoor Lawn and Landscape take care of you, eeoutdoor.com. And our friends at Roberts Robinson at robertsrobinson.com, Chevrolet GMC and Excelsior Springs. GMC, we are professional grade. Our final is the new world's oldest man. Some dude in Venezuela died. I'm sad about that. But we don't talk about the one that passed away. We talk about the new world's oldest person. The world's oldest man is John Tenniswood of Southport, England. He lives in a nursing home. He is 111. He is the new world's oldest man. That makes him more than 20 years older than my mom. That's awesome. He says the key to living a long life is moderation with everything. He never smoked. He drank very little. When he drank, he didn't drink much. But he has basically had fish and chips every Friday his entire life. Does anything scream Southport, England more than fish and chips every single Friday? Congratulations to John Tenniswood of Southport, England, 111 years old. Guinness says he is the oldest living man on earth. Folks, to get more, follow us on X at KKS Issues or go to Facebook. Jessica's starting to post more things on Facebook, our Facebook page, KKS Issues. We'd love to have you sign up and follow us there and correspond and go back and forth with her. I'm putting her to work. I'm putting Jessica to work. Get on Facebook. Keep her busy. Send her stuff. Make her reply to you. Make her follow or like you or however Facebook works. We do little videos every day now promoting the podcast. You can see those on X. We'd love to have you there. And we're always appreciative if you search for our sponsors at thekklist.com.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.